Welcome, everyone, and thanks for being with me this next hour. You're listening to Everyday Astrology with C.A. Brooks on 1-2 Radio, where we are here to help you change your mind about things. We are listening to the world with different ears, different perceptions, and that's very much what it's all about, because we're creating the script, we're creating the story. And this is September 10th, 2024, and my guest today is the wonderful Mo Tarot, you know, Mo Abdelbaki. Love Mo and always look forward to these conversations that we have. Many of you know him because, of course, he's on 1-2 Radio on Wednesdays. He's been an advisor with 1-2 Listen since the very beginning and even before that. And he is, you know, a teacher, and he's an author of a number of deck of cards. And as you know, he is a Vedic astrologer, which is a little bit different than Western astrology, but he knows a little Western as well. And he's also a tarot master. And mostly those are the things we talk about on the show. Although, of course, we steer into all kinds of areas, and especially with Mo, because he knows so much about especially what I consider esoteric topics. You know, some of those topics that have just been around for thousands of years, but to some extent can be hidden or unknown, or they kind of go out of fashion, or they're just, you know, they're just there and we need to really uncover them or pay attention to them. And Mo, he pays attention. He digs out all the things that he follows his curiosity. So Mo is with me here today and we're going to talk. But before we do, I have a couple of announcements, and one of them is this is 12 day this week. It's on Thursday. So, you know, that's when we're going to have all kinds of sales, and especially I always like to point out the time-based sessions, simply because, you know, Thursday may not be the day that you really want to connect with an advisor on 1-2 Listen, but you can go ahead and buy a time-based session. You get a great discount on 12 day, and then that's the those minutes that you can use anytime you want. So please do check that out on Thursday, or, you know, just check in with one of your favorite advisors on that day. Now, another thing I want to do is kind of a nod to last week, because, you know, one of the things I've been doing in 2024 is always coming up with, you know, trying to, in a sentence or so, kind of say, what is the mantra for the week? What is the idea? What's, you know, what's the overriding thread or the overarching idea? Well, last week's was stay in the grace of the grateful moment. And immediately after I finished the show, you know, I looked in the chat room, and by the way, please join me over on Facebook in our private group. And you can actually get there by going to 12radio.com, and there's a link that will take you directly to our group. So if you're not a member already, and, you know, you basically push the buttons you're supposed to push, then Jay Varvel, who is our producer, can let you in and join the other people that are already there. And hey, Renee, it's good to see you. Thank you for being here. And, but in any case, after I finished the show, I checked I checked Facebook and did a few of the things that I need to do, you know, administrative things, close out the show. And then I checked my own personal emails. Well, one of the emails that was sitting right there at the top was from Melissa Pierce, who is a woman that has been in my life for years. Even though I've never taken classes from her, I've heard her speak many times. She is in a business of using horses to do therapy with people and has a certification program and, you know, all of this wonderful stuff. So in any case, I have subscribed, and I did years ago, to a daily, you know, sort of, it's not exactly an affirmation, it's just a message that she sends out, and it's called Daily Message from Wisdom. And Wisdom is actually the name of a horse. That's how she writes it. So when the messages come in, they're always written as if they're coming from the horses, right? So when I opened this up last week, this is what it said. It said, Daily Message from Wisdom. Each season of the year seems to bring a lot of gifts and also the challenges to strengthen us. Our herd stays so fully present with each day of each season, so not to miss the gifts. They are all so grand to take into our life. In the barn, it seems most of the humans are always yearning for the next season and complaining about the one we're in. Why is that? seems a good way to miss the gifts. And then the sign off is present for the presence with you. And I wanted to share that with you because that is how life can work if you want it to, which is to just stay open, you know, just create that script around you where not that every single thing has to speak to you, but that you're open to whatever the themes are, and open also that you're not going to miss your destiny. You know, it's like setting that intention that I'm going to be present in the moment. I'm going to stay in the grace of the grateful moment. And there is that message, you know, and of course, that comes out every single day. I mean, she must have hundreds and hundreds of those messages that, you know, are, you know, get sent out once a day. And so I thought, how interesting that here's the message, and it's about staying present and in the moment. So I wanted to share that with you because, of course, those kinds of synchronicities, they happen all the time. You know, that's not unusual at all. They happen all the time. So, you know, and I would also say it's not magic. It's just what you fine tune your attention to. You know, what do you want to pay attention to? So this week's mantra is all about luck. And I say that because when I looked at what was going on this week, the planet that was really striking me was Jupiter, is Jupiter. Because Jupiter is going to make a connection to the sun on Thursday, on 12 day. Now that actually is going to be a square. And a square, of course, can be conflict. But it can also be, I mean, there's wonderful opportunities that can come out of that. Jupiter in Gemini square, the sun in Virgo. Then on Saturday, Jupiter is going to make a trine, which is a positive aspect, with Venus. So when I looked at what was going on this week, and there's a few other things, but those were the big things that I thought, oh, this week is all about refining or figuring out what is lucky for us or what luck looks like. So, of course, I did my usual, like, go through all these quotes and look at all these people that have that kind of aspect in their chart. And Denzel Washington, I think his is the sun square Jupiter. So, of course, I'm looking for people who are lucky despite, in a sense, what it might look like in their chart. But there again, so many, and I literally read maybe 100 quotes on luck. And I thought it was kind of an interesting pattern because, of course, there are most people that say, you know, without luck, nothing's ever going to happen. There's got to be a little bit of luck. But most of them were about something similar to this. Luck is when opportunity meets preparation. Now, of course, Denzel Washington was not the first or the only person who has ever said that. That is a common theme, that luck is for those people who see what their opportunities are and they're willing to grab them. So, in fact, I have another a few more quotes for you, and I just want to read these to you. One is, your competition is not other people, but it's the time that you kill, the ill will you create, the knowledge you neglect to learn, the connections you fail to build, the health you sacrifice along the path, your inability to generate new ideas, the people around you who don't support and love your efforts, and whatever God you curse for your bad luck. Now that kind of goes to the negative, but once again, it's just saying, hey guys, you know, bad luck is what you're making it. Now, here's another one. Poor decisions and bad luck are contingencies of most horror films. And I love that one. That one just made me laugh because isn't that true? I mean, you know, just that whole idea of don't go into the barn. Don't go through that door. What are you doing? You know, so bad decisions and bad luck kind of go together when it goes to those scary movies. And here, in fact, is one by Alfred Hitchcock. He says, luck is everything. My good luck in life was to be really frightened. I'm fortunate to be a coward, to have a low threshold of fear, because a hero couldn't make a good suspense film. Now, don't you love that? You know, and that's also something that I mean, I think he's saying that true. He's probably saying it a little tongue in cheek, but he's saying he took something maybe that was really a negative in his life and he did something really positive with it. And then here's one from Garrison Keillor. Some luck lies in not getting what you thought you wanted, but getting what you have, which once you have got it, you may be smart enough to see is what you would have wanted had you known. And I particularly like that too, because I think it goes along with this week, especially maybe that Jupiter trine Venus that's going to be on Saturday, because Jupiter trine Venus is relatively considered a very positive thing. Although here again, because Mo is with me today, I want him to talk about Jupiter in aspect to the Sun and to Venus, because, you know, Jupiter tends to blow up or expand everything it touches. And so it kind of is the beginning of that phrase, be careful what you wish for. Now, I don't particularly like that saying because I think it's kind of negative, but that's it. It's like we always think we know exactly what we want, but do we? Do we know exactly what's good for us? So that Jupiter trine Venus, we may go full force going after something we really want. But on that day, we also have an Aquarian moon. And the Aquarian moon makes me think, we should expect the unexpected and maybe be open to attracting something into our lives that we didn't even know that we wanted. So I'll put that out there. Then also Jupiter square that sun, you know, it has to do, that is very much so. It ties into this idea that, you know, good luck is actually, it looks a lot like hard work. Because Jupiter in Gemini has all these ideas going multiple directions, flipping all around and following lots of options. But that sun in Virgo says, okay, but let's decide, let's focus, let's get organized here, let's figure out what we're going to do. And so when those things are in square to each other, it just strikes me as the real benefit, the gift is a lot of hope and luck and enthusiasm, but the shadow is that we kind of have a short attention span. You know, it's kind of like we've got all these hopes, but do we have anything to back them up? You know, are we really going to stick with something, or are we going to get tired if it feels like hard work? We're going to turn our attention away from it. So these are some interesting and wonderful opportunities to really look at Jupiter this week and how it's operating in your life. So that's all I have to say. And now I'd really love to get Mo on the show and ask him what he's about, what he's thinking this week, and see if he'll weigh in on some of this Jupiter stuff. So welcome, Mo. Thanks for being with me today.
Thank you, and good morning to everybody.
Yes. Now what's that? Good morning. Oh, is that your southern? Is that your southern background?
Or singing in the rain. Good morning.
Oh, yes. Oh, thank you for that. So what intrigues you? Do you want to talk at all? I mean, you know, almost as I was even saying some of that stuff, I thought I could hear your wheels turning in terms of, well, I don't know about that Venus and Jupiter, and I'm not so sure about that sun and Jupiter. So, yeah, so, what, you know, from a Vedic standpoint or from your standpoint, what do you think?
Well, luck has been responsible for more charlatanism and chicanery throughout history than any other concept that has ever existed. I mean, that's the whole basis of, you know, I mean, let's face it. Not that I don't believe in luck, because there has to be something, I guess, out there, but luck is the basis of all superstition. And I've been a superstitious feller from time to time in my life. I mean, for years and years, I threw salt over my left shoulder whenever I spilled any salt.
You did?
Oh, yes, I did. I'm embarrassed to say it, but for a long while, my kids still do it. Whenever they spill salt, because they grew up watching their old man, you know, grab a hunk of salt and, you know, or a little bit of salt, and because I'd be cooking and spill the salt and over the left shoulder. And that's an old, you know, that has to do with, you know, negating the devil. Because when you spilled salt, you were, because salt was used to cast, to lay out little circles to prevent a demon from crossing over a certain path.
Ah.
Yeah, that's what that's from. You would call certain demons with salt. And so when you spilled the salt, it was like breaking the path. And I even knew why I was doing it. And yet I did it anyway. And knock on wood, that is to call elementals. And so, and I don't do that either. And I have succumbed to superstition at certain times in my life. I recently just gave up another one. And I find that I'm drawn to it as an Egyptian, I think, of Egyptian heritage. I'm an American, you know, but I, as someone who grew up with certain little superstitions that my dad not so much, my mom more so, because it's in the traditions and the blood. Mm. I found that I was drawn to them, and also being drawn to metaphysics from an early age, you find it isn't something that we call superstition, we call it tradition. And
right.
I believe that it calls certain energies and that it prevents you from doing this or that. And so at a certain point, I just said, you know, I don't need to worry about luck. Now, I went to Vegas once. My what's the former wife called? Oh, the former wife, you know, the ex-wife, I guess, is what they call them. Mm-hmm. And her that side of the family, avid gamblers. And we went to Vegas, and the first time I ever shot craps, I shot for 20 minutes without losing.
Oh, my God, that's incredible.
Yeah, during the day, and because I didn't know how to play, and they had this thing, come here and shoot craps. It's, you know, we won't take all your money. And there was a fellow standing next to me who won $26,000 on my bets, and I won like a few hundred, a couple hundred, whatever it was. And I had back surgery not so long before, and they said, "Can we see that cane?" And I said, "Sure," because I was leaning against the, and they ruined it. It was one of these things that expanded and contracted. They took it away, they x-rayed it, they took it apart, whatever they did, and they ruined it eventually. And because they were so suspicious of what I was doing, they called it beginner's luck.
Yeah. Yes.
And I'm more inclined to think that it was more than that. It was positive thinking, you know, because I didn't know that you couldn't win. You couldn't roll craps for almost half an hour and not lose. I don't think it was luck at all. It was just mind over matter. If you don't mind, it doesn't matter, you know. So It was one of those situations. But the guy standing next to me, just, I said, "Would you help me? Will you tell me how to bet?" He said, "Not a chance, buddy. I'm not going to ruin a good thing," you know. So
yeah. Just keep doing it with not knowing what's going on. Okay.
That's right. He liked my ignorance. And they were, I had a table that was surrounded by pit bosses and people from the casino. And since it was like, you know, 11 o'clock in the morning, no one else, you know, no one else, just all watching me very, very carefully. And finally, I quit. I had enough money to buy something, and I left. And they all just went, "What's with this guy?" So luck to me is very questionable. But it probably does exist. I don't know. I just think that luck is one of those things that we use. There are times when I think we might say the planets intersect properly, like Jupiter and Venus, but, you know, they can also bring you some really, I mean, terrible things, like venereal disease. I mean, Venus rules venereal diseases, you know.
Right.
So, and Jupiter rules luck. And so, you know, Jupiter and Venus trining can certainly bring you gonorrhea, you know. Those are the types of things that I look at. I mean, I'm not trying to be too sarcastic or whatever here, but just there's the old story of the monkey's paw. Ask what you know, be careful what you ask for. You know that old story?
You know, I know, I mean, I certainly know the saying, but no, I don't know the monkey's paw.
Oh, that's a story everyone should look up and read. I saw it on a Alcoa Presents or whatever it was when I was a kid, and it stuck with me. And it's anyone who ever wants to get involved in magic, I say to them, before you even think about it, read The Monkey's Paw. It's a French fellow, I can't remember who he was right now, but it's a really terrifying story about a couple who have a son who's a race car driver, and he dies in a race car crash, and he's and they have this monkey's paw. I don't remember exactly how they get it. And you have three wishes. And it's really, I'm not going to spoil it, but, you know, the mother makes a wish on it. And the wish comes true, and it's horrifying what happens. You can kind of guess, right?
Mm-hmm. Where
it goes. And it really brings to mind the idea of be careful what you wish for, because it just might come true. And there is certainly that truth in life. I have practiced the arts, so to speak, and I have made wishes that have been, you know, they have their good sides, and I have paid the price for the, you know, and not there, as Sir Isaac Newton stated accurately, for every action there is an equal and opposite reaction. As the libertarians say, there ain't no such thing as a free lunch, you see. So with everything, there is a cost. Mm-hmm. And so luck never comes without some sort of compensation on the other side. I'm extremely wary of luck. Extremely wary of luck. With that craps money, I bought a ring that had a history and a bit of a karmic debt to it. And I won't go any further than that, other than to say that I kind of paid for it on the other side. You know, I don't know if Mark will remember the ring. I don't know if he remembers everything about it, but I'll tell you later sometime. I don't want to talk about it on the air right now, because it's long and boring. But and quite impactful in many ways. And I'm not trying to be a tease, but that's just not worth, you know, wasting valuable airtime on. But the whole point is that luck is really a complicated subject for me, because I think we make our own luck based upon our basic karma. And we don't understand karma any more than we understand the space-time continuum. Because I think that's what karma is. It's based upon this concept of space and time. We in the West use the word karma like we use the word beer, you know?
Yeah.
There are millions of types, not millions, but probably hundreds of thousands of types of beer, and no two really taste the same. In the East, the word karma means something quite complex. And they really are reviled by the way we use it to indicate the golden rule or payback or something like that. It's not at all the way they use it. And they think that we are very simple in our concept of karmic debt or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Something that happens that is very bad to us might be good karma. And we just don't understand that.
Mm-hmm.
But I've been talking a lot. You talk now.
Yeah, but no, I think you brought up some wonderful things, like even the superstition related to luck. But also, you know, like I said, even when I was speaking, I could just hear your energy behind it. In terms of, you know, like the Venus thing. Now, I didn't go exactly where you went, but there again, you know, yeah, Jupiter and Venus, what could go wrong? I can get exactly what I want. But that's also about overindulgence, drinking too much, eating too much. You know, it's almost like wanting everything in life to be overly sweet, or just, you know, to have my heart's desire. And there again, I really don't like the kind of negativity of be careful of what you wish for. But it's true that Venus, I think, and you say this more from a Vedic standpoint, you know, she can be, I'm not going to say indiscriminate, but she's just like, give me, give me, give me. This is what I want. This is what will appease me. This is what tastes good. This is what I think I need and want in my life. I'm going, you know, I'm not necessarily in check with my desires. So then you put Venus with her. And like I said, generally speaking, I think Saturday is going to be, you know, good luck for people, and or it might be a really sweet, like, you know, blind date, or people might really find something coming into their lives that they've wanted. But it's a mistake astrologically or with anything else to, you know, to just say, oh, well, this is going to happen that day, so this is going to be perfect. I happen to meet this person must be my soulmate. Not necessarily true. Right. You know, and it all needs to be tempered. I mean, quite frankly, I'm more drawn to the Sun square Jupiter, which, you know, technically should be kind of a negative thing, a challenging thing. But it strikes me that that's the kind of energy that's really beneficial for us, because it helps us sort through what are we really willing to work for. Yeah, the opportunities will come if you're willing to work for them. So where do you want to focus your energy? What do you want to do with it? And what is worth really putting your time into this week or next week or any other time? That's how you make your luck. You know, it's not just what falls into your lap, because, you know, and in fact, in the Power Peak, I wrote, this is just kind of one of my principal rules. There is no such thing as overnight success. Every right. time I hear that, I mean, like, people say that often about a member of my family. And yes, in a sense, he looks really lucky. He's made a lot of money. You know, wonderful things have happened to him. However, I've known him, you know, my whole life. And this is a go-getter. He, you know, he goes after it. And he fails and fails and fails. And he gets up one more time and tries it again.
Right.
And that is not overnight success. So it's not fair to look at him and go, oh, he just fell into that. No, he didn't. You didn't see the 12 businesses he did before that that were failures. He kept fine-tuning until he got it right. That's not overnight success. That's a lifetime of building towards something. And like I said, it's easy for people to meet him and go, oh, how lucky is that? It's like, no, not really. That's not luck. That's persistence. Right. And so I like the Sun square Jupiter for that reason, because I think most of the time there are a few people that maybe you'd say are lucky, but even there, are people lucky when they're born into lots and lots of money and they have no character development? You know, they just become kind of squanderers, or they just become kind of people that aren't contributing or doing anything in life. Is that lucky? And see, that's where I'd question that. I'm not sure that's luck.
I've met a lot of incredibly wealthy people who were horrible people or who were incredibly unhappy.
Yes. But it's not the money per se, you know, and there again, there's a lot of wealthy people that are incredibly happy, but I'd say probably most of those are more in the camp of they've done something to work for it. Because I think human nature is we need something constructive to do.
You know, it's interesting that the happiest millionaire, and this was back in the 60s, that I ever met had a mental challenge.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he was what we used to call simple-minded.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And he was an heir to the DuPont fortune. And he was one of the happiest fellows I ever met in my life. And he and my dad were friends. And he was incredible, just an incredible guy. And he was a philanthropist. And he gave tons of money away, and he could have given tons more, but he gave it away like crazy, and he was just this happy, happy fellow. And there was a simplicity to him, and that was his happiness. It was his joy. Just a wonderful guy. And you'd meet him on the street. The first time I met him, I was a kid, and I thought he was a guy who cleaned out stalls. Literally,
mm-hmm.
because he was wearing overalls and he had straw and he had manure on his boots, that sort of thing, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And he and my dad were on the streets, on the street of Fort Collins, Colorado, you know, which was a college town but also a cow town. And they were talking, and he was talking about Arabian horses or whatever he was talking about, and they were laughing and joking and just yucking it up. And when he walked away, I said, who is that? He said, that is one of the richest men in the country. And I was just dumbfounded. And he said, he's also one of the happiest men you'll ever meet. And I thought, that's amazing. And there was a lucky man, a happy man. And it was because he wasn't encumbered by his wealth.
Mm-hmm.
He had come into it naturally. but not, it wasn't something that was, he was brilliant, but there was something that was not yoked to him. And that was, there's something missing from it. There was no greed.
Right.
There was no social, something just was missing. And what was missing was the onus of having to prove something, perhaps. Mm-hmm. I don't know. No Mars at all, you know? Mm. I like that aspect of it. I mean, Mars was there, but it wasn't about having to be in a boardroom somewhere and make more money. He didn't care about mm-hmm. making another penny in his life. It was all about giving it away.
Mm-hmm. Well, and what you're also talking about is attachment.
Yeah.
Which, you know, in my mind, I think about that a lot, that happiness is not in the right things just happening to you or coming to you at the right moment. Happiness is when you know how to find happiness.
Right.
You know, just that idea, and I always use the analogy, if I'm not really worried about my cell phone using it too much or running out of charge, because I know how to get more charge.
Right.
Now, if I didn't know how to get charges, so every day it was a mystery, like, oh my God, I've got to use this scarcely, you know, the whole scarcity, poverty mentality. Oh my God, I've got to save this and not use that and not listen to my podcast and got to be really careful because I don't know when I'm going to get any more charge. That would kind of make the experience miserable. But I have no doubt that I know how to get more charge. I know where I know where it lives. I know how to hook it up. And I really do think life and happiness is very much the same way, but we forget it. We lose sight of that. So then it becomes, when is the next little thing going to come along to make me happy? The next job, the next home, the next person, the next nice interaction. Where, you know, it's almost like we're just waiting for things to happen to us. And if we live on that basis, then it is like using that cell phone very, very carefully because you think there's not going to be any more charge. And
well, it's the next fix, you know?
Yeah, the next fix, right. But the truth is, the fix is always within you.
Right.
You're the one who's always going to be able to figure it out. And when we can kind of just grow into that knowledge and know that, you know, like even that quote I read from the email at the very beginning of the show, you know, it's about being right here, right in this moment. Next season is going to take care of itself.
Right.
We don't have to worry about what's going to, I mean, we don't really have to. Now, that being said, doesn't mean I don't worry about it. Doesn't
right.
mean that I don't think about it, but I try to just keep training myself back to, I know where the happiness lives. I know how to create it. I can trust myself and my inner guide.
So do
I don't
need
have
that?
To. Yeah, I don't. Yeah, yeah. Don't need luck.
See, and that's the problem with gamblers who become compulsive gamblers, who become losers because they gamble all the time and the odds are with the house or it wouldn't
yes,
be a
always.
Game.
Yes, right.
You know? And that's luck is a fallacy when it comes to that sort of gambling. You know, the big winners at the poker table are the professional gamblers who realize how to play the game and realize that it's a matter of the odds. And they know how to play the game. And they realize it's not about luck. It's about mathematics.
Mm-hmm.
And they're the ones who can win. And they know how to take it off on their taxes. And they're the ones who can become millionaires with the game over a period of time. But the poor people who lose, who bet their houses and lose those houses, and the, you know, the casinos who are willing to take those houses.
Yes.
I mean, there's a cold-heartedness to luck. Because there's bad luck, too. I mean, that's just how I view it. That's how I've seen it over the years. I've seen that, and I mean, just the whole thing, and in our world, in the world of metaphysics, there's an entire what's the word? There's a whole side to it that we like to ignore, and it's called bunko, you know? It's the voodoo
people. What does that mean? Oh, okay.
Funko is crime. It's all part of crime. Now, voodoo is a legitimate religion, and it is a legitimate practice. But there are the fake voodoo people who use this concept of bad luck in order to generate billions of dollars a year for themselves.
Yes.
And I've had clients in the past who have gone to these horrible people and you know, given them tens of thousands of dollars to take off spells or bad luck. You've seen it, the bad luck.
Oh, I have. And it's, yeah.
And it just horrifies me. And the things that they've, oh, I met, Dr. So-and-so, and Dr. So-and-so takes off bad luck spells. And it's like, and at that point, you've probably spoken to these people. And you can't talk them out of it. All you can do is say good luck.
Mm-hmm.
And come see me afterwards, or come talk to me afterward if you want to.
Yeah, well, see, once again, on a metaphysical level, that something outside yourself can hurt you or make you happy. Whenever we project that something outside of ourselves can make us happy or hurt us, then we're vulnerable.
Right. And, you know, it's the same thing as the Nairobi Prince, because we are seeking something and it comes along and it's too good to be true and we fall for it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's mm-hmm. just, it's the vulnerability within us, and that's what the luck principle can be. Now, I'm not saying it doesn't exist, but you know what I like to look for when we talk about Venus, and especially in these benefic planets, and mm-hmm. Venus and Jupiter are benefic planets. They're beneficial, right? But uh-huh. I like to look to the Greek gods, because the Greek gods, you know, really were kind of rough. They were rough. Zeus was not the easiest fella to get along with. You know, he could be a great guy. He could also be pretty rough. I mean, he and his brothers were at war almost constantly. It was an uneasy peace most of the time. But you look at Aphrodite, and she was stunningly beautiful. Everyone who saw her fell in love with her and wanted her, and she knew it. She realized it. And so that's what I look to when I look like a trine of Venus and Jupiter.
Jupiter, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, we've got these two planets coming together, and so I can see, yes, a lot of beneficial energy coming that way, but also things like jealousy, you know,
mm-hmm.
and desire and want. And it doesn't have to be bad, but it can also be, since the South Node is there, that will be a part of this, it can be all sorts of, at least in the Vedic system. It can mm-hmm. be a lot of interesting things, like new interesting thoughts and spirituality and new interests, and, you know, use it
right,
whatever you'd like. You know, I believe in mixing it up. It's all a big cauldron, if you will.
Uh-huh.
Bubble, toil and trouble, right? some interesting is always going on somewhere. That's how mm-hmm. I view these things.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's just a fascinating situation how the trends go. I'm seeing right now a trend in customer service, that customer service is at a low, the lowest.
Oh, yeah.
Have you experienced that too? Oh, my God, yes. Just horrible. And it's like big corporations do not care at all about we, the customers, us, you know, they don't care. And it's just unbelievable. I believe that will take a turn at some point. At least I hope it does. We had a refrigerator installed, and we were supposed to have a dishwasher installed, but it was such a muck up. Now we have a dishwasher in our garage that does, you know, it's not hooked up. And obviously not hooked up to my car. So, you know, and the company was horrible. So I'm hoping with this Venus trine Jupiter that's coming on Sunday, that it will happen. It'll work.
Yeah,
that things will work out, and at least by then it will be hooked up. So that's the type of thing I'm looking for.
You know? Yeah.
Because what happened last Saturday, or Sunday actually, was so irritating that it was literally unbelievable, but it was also completely expected by me, because I don't believe in luck. I do some, but I knew that this was the trend. So when it goes with luck, I always look at the trend in reality. Do you do that?
Well, yes, but go ahead, explain.
I'm just saying, I knew because of past installations of appliances and so on,
right. Mm-hmm.
That this is how it goes nowadays.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't usually go well. You know.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, and I'll tell you what, I take the approach. I mean, oftentimes I find myself, what I'd say, even gearing up. You know, it's like, okay, put on your armor. And then I go, no, that's not what you're going to do. These are human beings. You know, they want to be treated fairly. They want to be treated with kindness. So you assume that until you have to bring out the Mars, so to speak.
Right.
And so that is what I do. And a lot of times that absolutely works. Okay. You know, especially like if I even, I mean, the words I find that are really helpful sometimes is saying to somebody, I need your help. You know, kind of putting my, you know, you can do something for me. I need your help. And then it becomes, oh, well, you know, what can I do for you? So sometimes it's even the choice of words. It's not like, okay, this is what happened and blah, blah, blah. It's like, hey, I've got a problem and I need your help. And often, well, you know, it's amazing how it works.
Oh,
and in fact, I'll tell you what, I will never forget, and I do think this was an unusual situation, but I had flown to some islands in the Caribbean years ago from Denver. So it was at least three flights and over 12 or 15 hours. And my very first flight was late into Chicago. And when I got there, my plane was taking off. My next connection. And what was bad about it is that I had gotten a ticket. The first flight was American and the second flight was United or something like that. So I went to both desks and they both said, well, we're not responsible because you came in on American. And, you know, and then American said, well, we're not responsible because you're leaving on United. And I'm like, okay, I'm sitting in Chicago. The next flight isn't until tomorrow morning. And, you know, I had checked all my luggage, by the way, too. So I had like nothing but a book and my purse. And I'm like, okay, what am I going to do? And by the way, this was before cell phones.
Mm-hmm.
And so I literally am walking O'Hare Airport trying to decide what to do. And I see this guy and, you know, he's got a uniform on. I think it was American. But anyway, he's got this little kiosk. And so I just walked up to him and I said, I need your help. And he goes, great, because I said, I need your help. I have a problem. And he goes, great, because I am so good at solving problems.
Wow.
And I know, and I went, okay, this is a good sign. Well, you know, bottom line, I explained to him what happened. He goes, okay, we're going to get you a hotel. We're going to get you another flight tomorrow. And he set the whole thing up. Sent me, you know, got me the transportation to the hotel, spent the night in a hotel, came back the next day and got on my flight. But when he said that, good, I'm really good at solving problems. I mean, I never forgot that. There are people in the world who act that way.
Yeah.
You know, there are people. And he kind of became my hero in that sense. You know, that it's okay. You know, there are problems and things happen. So, but as you're saying, you know, several times what has happened to me because, you know, and I still think we live in a misogynist world, meaning, you know, especially things that I'm doing around the house, it's like there's no man here. And so all of a sudden they're, you know, the landscapers or whoever it is, they're just taking shortcuts. And I'm like, no, that's not the way we're going to do it. And every once in a while, I literally call my brother-in-law and I go, okay, I need your presence. I just need them to see a man here, you know? But a lot of times, like I said, I just say, okay, no, I need that shrub over here. Or I need this, that, and the other thing. And if they don't respond to that, then I get a little, like I say, I bring in the Mars.
Yeah.
And then it's more like, no, this is how we're going to do it. If I'm paying, you know, and sometimes I've even said to them, is this free? I don't have to pay for this. And of course, they look at me and I go, well, if I'm the one with the money, then I'm the one making the decisions, you know? And then they're like, okay, you know? But I try to take the approach of, hey, I've got a problem, or I need your help. So this is, I need your advice on where does the shrub go, or how does this happen, you know? Things that I have no idea about. You know, like when the irrigation system was broken, leaking under a cement patio. You know, I'm clueless. How do you fix that? You
know? Right.
But so in some ways, I throw myself on their mercy. But I think you're right. I don't know what has really evolved or what has changed. But where I notice customer service is really lacking, and it kind of surprises me, because on some levels, it's like, you know, people still are complaining of not having jobs, and yet nobody hires anybody to answer their phones anymore. Have you noticed that? I mean, when you call anywhere, almost, there's never a person answering the phone. It's one of the mazes. And if you don't fit into one of the mazes, good luck. Getting an operator or anybody to help.
Yeah. And this was, you're right, it is a misogynistic. What's interesting is that the people, it was my wife calling, and these were other women she was speaking to, and they treated her horribly. And unfortunately, she's got like five planets in Aries, so you can imagine how that one. And
I relate.
And they shut her completely down. And this is a big company, Lowe's, and treated her like dirt, And I was surprised, because they don't care. And they don't care. And I was really kind of horrified by the fact that they don't care. Horrified. And they blame the salesperson. And it's like, is it a matter of blame? Or is it a matter of fix it?
Yeah.
You see? And that, there is no luck principle there. You see? That's my point. There is no luck principle in those situations. You don't end up with someone who says, I'll take care of it. That's company policy.
Yeah.
And so where does luck exist? Does luck exist in nature? Are there people who are just, because we all know someone that people say, boy, that's so-and-so. Luckiest guy I know, right? We've all met someone who people talk about and they say, he's just so lucky. Is it that, or is there something else going on? I don't know. You know, I've always been fascinated by that luck principle. My mom used to say that I was her lucky charm, and that once I left home to get married, or after I got married, she wanted me to stay with the family forever. But once I left, things began to change in the family. And once I left, my wife and I split up, things changed drastically for her. And this has been kind of a trend. And I don't know is that luck, or is there something else involved there? I don't know.
I think there's something else involved.
Yeah.
I mean, truthfully, because there again, even when you talk about lucky people, it's kind of like the overnight success. My guess is if you start digging, I'm not saying that some people don't seem to just have a magic touch, but most of the time, if you look behind the scenes, there's a whole lot more going on than just this person's lucky. You know, once again, this person tried it 10 times and they tell you about the time it worked. Or everybody else knows about the time it worked. They don't know about the other. But the other thing, like in terms of your mom or anything else, see, once again, once we're attached to something being lucky for us, then what happens if it's not there?
And I have to reiterate, I was extremely superstitious for a long period of time. Mm-hmm. I even had a lucky dime. There's a story behind it. It's remarkable. One might actually believe it was a lucky piece. But the point is to say that once I realized that my superstitious beliefs were holding me back.
Yeah.
And that my life not only went on, but I had equal success with or without whatever the superstition was. And I realized, oh, that it was simply dragging me down, but that, you know, it's, and yet I still believe in astrology, and I still believe in tarot, and I still believe in the I Ching, without the concept of sheer luck. Now, there are times when something happens and I go, whew, that was lucky.
Yes. You know? Yes, but once again, yeah. And there again, I'm not going to argue that there are unknown forces, that's where I'd put luck, that I don't know exactly how that happened. I don't know.
But see,
some people would say it's a guardian angel, or they'd say somebody's looking out for you, you know? It's that our own belief that ultimately I'm safe and I'm being taken care of.
See, now that I will go along with. When I got into a car with someone who wanted to kill me, and I knew it instantly and protected myself from that, and the guy was more afraid of me than I of him, and I got out of that car a lot. We say idiomatically, that was one of the luckiest moments of, well, that was the luckiest moment of my life, or I wouldn't be here.
Yeah.
And he was lucky because he's still alive. He's in prison. But I'll tell you something. We say that's lucky, but that was pure, unadulterated instinct.
Mm-hmm.
I knew my life was in danger, and I reacted instantly before he even opened his mouth. I was hitchhiking. Stupid. But the point is that there was something incredibly, primal. It was primal.
Right.
And it was, and so we use the word luck, but that was self-preservation. So maybe that's what luck is in one way.
And listening to your intuition.
Yeah.
You know, listening to developing your way of understanding the world that is not necessarily rational. It's coming from something else, but it's just as valid.
You know, my ex-wife, first time I laid eyes on her, I mean, literally, the first time I saw her, that was it. I was smitten. That was it. I said, oh my God, that's the woman I want to marry. Perfectly stunned. I was thunderstruck, you know? I love my children. I can't imagine life without them. The answer to that is I would still have children. They would just be taller, you know, or something. But the other side of that is, was that luck or was that, you know, was that meant to be? Who can say? But I have a tendency to think that whatever that was, it was legitimate.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's how I look at the world. And would I don't know. I mean, she changed the direction of my life. I would have been possibly, I would have gone very far in academics. That's where my idea was, and I would have ended up with advanced academic degrees. But I'm not sure I would have been happy. Not at all.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that world kind of, frankly, bored me.
Yes. On that note, though, we need to close out. So you get one more sentence.
Speaking of boredom, Mo, let's wrap you up.
No. What I'm saying is we've got one more minute to wrap the show. I didn't want to interrupt you there. So that was a perfect example of, you know, you say it's an ex-wife, but it may have been the luckiest thing that ever happened to you, right? Well, and you've got your children and the way our lives move. So
that's right.
Thank you, Mo, for being on the show today and moving our lives in a direction. I really appreciate the conversation. Thank you so much. So do you have anything else you want to say? Are you going to be around on 12 Day or anything else you want to announce?
I'm around. And I had to shut down my website because they were unreliable. So if people want to get a hold of me, I do have a page on Facebook.
Okay.
It's a public page. That's the only way to get a hold of me now. Yes. And thank you for having me. And it's always good to be here.
Okay, well, it's always good to have you here. So, Mo, thank you so much, and everybody, thank you for being here. And I hope you will join me next week, same time and place, because we've got incredible things going on next week. We've got a full moon lunar eclipse. That's going to be on Tuesday. There's going to be the fall equinox next week, and also Venus enters Scorpio. So we'll be talking about some of those things on the show next week. And please catch the Power Peak, Mark's Power Peak, where, you know, we'll write up all this stuff, and so you'll have a heads up on it. And remember, this Thursday is 12 day on When to Listen. You can find me there. So thanks for joining me. Thanks to Jay Varvel, our producer. And also stay tuned. I hope you just keep the dial right here on One Two Radio, because I'm going to be joining Kelly Whetstone for her show Empowerment next. This is our monthly meeting of the minds. So just hold on a few minutes while we kind of reset the controls, and I will be right back with Kelly. This is CA signing out. You have been listening to Everyday Astrology with my guest, Mo Abdelbaki, on One Two Radio, where we're changing the way you think about luck.